Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, and here at the Sunbury Motor Studios, the fact that Ed DeChellis just texted me about Dick Carter passing away, which I did know already, which I'll talk about in the next hour. We have a few stories to relate. In fact, do you have the it all queued up, story time with Steve Jones?
No, but I think I'm going to find that. And we're going to have some nice music to go along with it. It's going to be our new feature.
Yeah, I think it would be great. And because Dick Carter passed away last night at the age of 81. So the Nittany Lion basketball coach from 78 to 83. His first year was my first year. His last season on the Penn State Sports Network was my first year permanently on the Penn State Sports Network. And he's the one that opened the door for me to get the job. We will talk about him next hour. How's everything going over there? I'm here at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. In fact, we may refer to it as the Sunbury Motors Chateau.
That would save some time.
It would.
Word conservation.
Absolutely. And we talked about the NCAA tournament opening hour. Fab Mello out of the tournament, academically ineligible, despite the best efforts of Bob Costas to get him through. I'm just kidding. Costas is one of the great guys. I like Costas. I should not make fun of him. Let's see who. Who can I make fun of? Iron Eagle. All right.
That's a good one. There's a good one to do.
Here at Syracuse, they love you. I'm like, oh, that's great. The Lady Lion basketball team, though, did not get a kind fate. The Lady Lions, yes, they're in. Yes, they're a four. Yes, that's great. All right, fine. But you have to know how the tournament works to realize that what they got stinks. Now, the opening round game's a 4-13 matchup. Texas El Paso's 29-3. Okay, fine. I got it. You know, it's the tournament. You have to play somebody, that, and somebody who's pretty good. And as a 13, that they're a fine team at 29-3. But it's the tournament, and you should be playing somebody like that. But in the second round, because you're a 4, you're now matched up with a 5. Well, the 5 is LSU. They're the host team. They're playing at the Maravich Center. If you survive that because you're a 4, you play a 1. This time it's UConn. That would be in Kingston, Rhode Island. I've spent many an incredible time at the Saunderstown Quality Inn. Because I did all 9 years of the Atlantic 10. And if you're a 3... you play a 14. If you're a 3, you then play no better than a 6. If you're a 3, you then play a 2. But, and this, I've talked about this the last couple of weeks, why it was important to stay off the 4 line in women's basketball. It's not such a big deal in men's basketball, because I think there's enough parity in men's basketball where 4s can beat 1s. Okay? But in women's basketball, that's not the reality. If they end up being a 3, great draw. And as the Big Ten regular season champion, they should have that draw. As the Big Ten regular season champion that played great basketball down the stretch, winning at Purdue, winning at home impressively over Ohio State. Purdue ended up being a 4 seed. Well, I'm sorry, but the Lady Lions as the regular season champion should have been the 3 seed. And they're ranked 9th in the country coming in. So if you're a 3, you play a 14. You play no better than a 6. You play a 2. And if you're a 4, which they ended up being, you play a 13. That's fine. No issue. Then you have to play the 5. An even game. They're the, you know, the Lady Lions are the 13th seed in the entire tournament. LSU's the 17th. And you're playing them in Baton Rouge. Now, last year, DePaul was a 3. The Lady Lions, as the host team, were a 6. DePaul rallied and won. 4-5, though, is a little closer matchup. All right. So then you survive that, you get a 1. Now, admittedly, this year without Maya Moore, UConn is the weakest of the 1 seeds. But you're playing in Kingston, Rhode Island? We're bringing the analyst for the Lady Line Network here to the Sunbury Motor Studio, Brian Tripp. Welcome to the show. Brian's the color analyst on the Lady Line Radio Network, working with Jerry Fisher. And, you know, why, Brian? Why a 4 in the end?
What did them in was the RPI and strength of schedule. RPI at 20, strength of schedule at 62. But the committee recognized how talented the Big Ten was and put 7 teams in the field, including Michigan. So you're thinking, once you see Michigan on that line, they were shown before Penn State. Penn State was in the second region shown last night on ESPN. You're thinking, all right, maybe they are going to be a 3. Because the committee obviously appreciates what the Big Ten's done. But then you see Penn State get a 4. LSU, that's going to be a tough place to play, assuming LSU beats San Diego State, which they probably will. They had an injury to their best player, but it looks like she'll be back. That's a long trip to Baton Rouge. And LSU is a dangerous team. Beat Kentucky twice this year. A really good defensive team. And UTEP's 29-3. You don't win 29 games by accident. Especially they've been playing really well
lately.
And
they're scorching hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing great. UTEP's playing great. That's a tough opener, the 29-3. But that's fine. I don't mind a tough opener against a 13 seed on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that does not bother me.
But you're hoping that you're not going to a 5's home court. You're hoping you're going to the 12 or the 13's home court, going to the 5 home court. That's tough. And Ohio State, I know you disagree with me on this. I think they got a really bad draw at an 8th seed. Luckily for them, it's in Bowling Green. But I think that, again, shows where the committee valued the Big Ten in terms of seeding.
I felt Ohio State was fading down the stretch and not playing well. That's why I felt I didn't really think twice about them being lower down the ladder. But I did think about Purdue was seeded correctly at 4.
Yeah.
And they get a home game. They get 2 home games out of it, which is fine. I understand that. But the fact that you take a 4 seed in the Lady Lions, make them the 13 seed in the tournament, so 1 out from a 12, which puts them as a 3 seed, to now face the 17 seed in the tournament, LSU, which is what they are. That's their line.
Mm-hmm. And then also
on their court.
And then also, if you win, you get Connecticut and Kingston, which is a home game for UConn. Which, you know, that's the way it's going to be.
And somebody has to explain to me in the NCAA, why are they playing in a 7,500-seat arena for the regional championship? What? That's not in Providence, right? It's actually in Kingston, right?
Kingston.
I mean, the Providence Civic Center, the Dunkin' Donuts Center, which, by the way, I mean, they have great coffee, seats over 13,000. Why put it in? I know Penn State, the men's team, never played in Ryan Arena. It was not built until after they left the Atlantic 10. So I've never done a game there. I know it's new, but it's 7,541 seats. You have to be kidding me. That's the best spot you can put it in for an NCAA regional for the right to go to Denver? Aren't you supposed to step it up at some point and go to a bigger place?
Especially with UConn there.
Well, you play the first 2 rounds in a place like that. You don't play the next 2 rounds there.
Yeah.
I mean, that came up on the board because I didn't know. Because the Pepsi Center in Denver is a great place to play. That'll be
a great trip, a great venue, a great city to host.
18,000-19,000 seat arena. That's perfect. Just like last year, they played at the Bank Fieldhouse there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a perfect venue for it. Which was Conseco last year. It's a perfect venue for it. But your regional final in Kingston, I have nothing wrong with Kingston. I spent many a wonderful night at the Saunderstown Quality Inn. And, you know, before finally somebody said, you know, there's a Marriott in Providence. We ought to try that. Hey, great. But it makes no sense. And then you see them seated 4th. I'm sorry. When you're the regular season champ, you know, you can do all the numerology you want. Okay? In a league, they got seven teams into the tournament. They were the best of the group down the stretch. They should be the highest-seeded team of the group and not even with somebody else. Right? They shouldn't be even with Purdue. They should be one above Purdue on the three line. Like I told you, and I'm consistent about this, because I said that Michigan in the men's tournament should be on the three line because they had a better season than Indiana and Wisconsin, who were both on the four line. Right? So I'm consistent about what I said in the first half hour of the show and what I've said in this part of the show.
And that's where I'm right with you. When you see seven teams in the tournament, that's where the four seed really jumps out at you.
Right. Now, I know. And ironically, a game that doesn't help them is North Carolina, which doesn't make the tournament for the first time in 11 years. But the Big Ten regular season champion goes out and ends up as a four. And I've talked about this for 2 weeks now, about the importance of being a three versus a four. It is a world of difference. If you are a three, you play a 14. If you are a three, you then play a six. If you are a three, voila, you play a two.
And there's a big gap in women's basketball between the 4-1s and the 4-2s.
Now, last year, there were no ones that made it to the Final Four. That's the first time that's ever happened.
But traditionally,
75% of Final Four teams right in that neighborhood, I'd say 67 to 75% are ones in women's basketball. They just have not been able to get the parity that I think everybody hoped for.
Well, it's a good year to play Connecticut, and they're not as good.
Well, I mean, Maya Moore's not there. Okay, so that's, you know, it's your shot. It's your shot to play them, but you have to get through LSU in its home court.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough matchup. You know, they play really good defense. Lassandra Barrett got knocked out of the game against Tennessee in the SEC championship, but she got back to full contact yesterday.
Right.
They played Tennessee really tough this year. 22-10, 10-6 SEC, and 12-3 at home, 8-6 away. Guess where they're playing? At home. Makes a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
They average just around 5,000. You figure it's going to be a little over that for tournament games. So it's a team that draws, played two Big Ten teams, Northwestern and Ohio State, lost to them both. Although that came 3 months ago.
3 months ago.
A lot can change in 3 months. We're here.
Yes, a lot can change in 3 months, and we've noticed that dramatically. A lot did it. I know the view out the window is a little different for me than it was 4 months ago. So. And it's also 70-something degrees today. That's all good. You'll be playing in the Maravich Center. We'll talk about Pete Maravich in a moment. So, yes. Brian, how do you like the chateau? Good? Yeah? That's Brian Tripp, the analyst for the Lady Lion basketball team. Thanks for stopping in today, Brian. Appreciate that. Kevin, any questions for Brian before he leaves?
No, I'm good. He answered.
You're
them
good?
All. I'm good. I am in the know.
You're in the know. You hear that, Brian?
Being. For the time being.
Do you hear that, Brian? Yeah. Exiting the chateau. Brian Tripp is the analyst for the Lady Lion basketball team. Great to have him with us here today. And he is making the trip. He told me they're going down, I guess they have to leave Friday. Because they have to have an open practice there on, although they in the women's tournament, they don't do that. Like the men's tournament, everybody's open practices. But so are you up to speed now?
I am. I feel more informed than I ever have, at least on this particular topic.
Well, with that, we're going to open up the phone lines at 1-800-795-9565. By the way, Bucknell plays tonight. They will play Arizona 9 o'clock in the opening round of the NIT at a place I am very familiar with, the McHale Center in Tucson. You're saying, yeah, Steve, you were just there last year. I've done 9 games in my career at the McHale Center. We've actually been there 5 different times and done 9 games there. Now Birdsong gets my seat.
He's looking right forward to it. I can guarantee it.
Doug, you're at the foul line, left-hand side as you look on TV across from your bench. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Thanks to Brian Tripp for actually coming here to the Chateau today to talk with us. Also, Dick Girardi on the phone opening hour. Her and I are back to take your calls. I want to hear from you out there at 1-800-795-9565. Former Nittany Lion basketball coach Dick Carter passing away at the age of 81. Final half hour, I will talk about him and relate some stories on Steve Jones Storytime on The Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
That's what you'll say when you come to Shemmock's Furniture in Caltmont during their March inventory reduction madness. You'll save a minimum of $100 off every in-stock sofa. Shemmock's has over 250 recliners in stock, and they are all on sale. There's drastic discounts on all remaining 2011 Serta mattress sets, plus much more. It's madness. Shemmock's has quality name brand furniture at discount prices. There's over 50 manufacturers to choose from, including many made in the USA brands. Remember, you get 1 year no-interest financing and all always free delivery, setup, and removal of old furniture. Hurry into the March inventory reduction madness at Shemmock's. Shemmock's Furniture on Route 61 in Caltmont at Shemmock's.com and on Facebook. Since 1915, we sell happiness.
Spring is a little like falling in love. It's not really a season, it's a rush. It comes to you all at once and makes everything feel new. At W&L Subaru in Northumberland, they celebrate it with the Subaru Love Spring Event. A Subaru is the perfect car for enjoying the most perfect of times. Subaru symmetrical all-wheel drive gets you there no matter what kind of weather spring brings. Even better, a Subaru is built to be responsible and fuel efficient to help keep spring beautiful. So seize the moment and head into W&L Subaru, where the early bird gets a great deal on a Subaru. W&L Subaru Route 11 in Northumberland has been family-owned and operated since 1965. They've expanded their lot, and right now they have the largest selection of vehicles they've ever had. But hurry, like spring itself, the Subaru Love Spring event won't last long. Get a great deal on a car built to make the most of spring at W&L Subaru, now through April 2nd. W&L Subaru, it's the right car.
March is here and Columbia Mall is buzzing. Community Day is on the 17th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Get your daffodils from the American Cancer Society the 19th through 25th. On the 22nd and 23rd, Geisinger Dietetic interns will host a Get Your Plate in Shape scavenger hunt for prizes. On the 24th, the Easter Bunny arrives with entertainment at 11. From the 24th through April 6th, there will be an Easter egg hunt. From the 24th through April 7th, visit with the Easter Bunny and even have your pet's photos taken with him. Learn more at ColumbiaMall.com. Columbia Mall, where great finds are easy to find.
One 800 795 9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Fab Mello's out of the NCAA tournament, an academic casualty. Coverage will be on this and Fox stations as well as CBS and True TV. There'll be no coverage on ESPN. He's a Syracuse guy. All right, our number is 1-800-79 what?
I'm just chuckling.
Yeah, I got to give Jim Boeheim credit. He knows nothing about his program. Our number is 1-800-795-9565 is the number. I mean, every time you turn around, I don't know about that. I knew nothing. I didn't do it. It's like. Fuck. You're in charge, man. You're in charge, aren't you?
I don't know. I just walk back and forth and scream and yell every now and then. I have no idea what's going on.
My goodness, what do you do? Your job's to roll the ball out? What the heck? Our number is 1-800-795-9565 is the number. Oh, get involved, call us. We have a lot to talk about today. We will talk about it. We've already had Dick Girardi on in the opening 45 minutes of the show, breaking down the NCAA men's basketball tournament. In this half hour, we had Brian Tripp on, the analyst for the Lady Lion Basketball Network, analyzing their seed and the tournament at large. Tomorrow, Jeff Myers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, will join us from St. Louis. And then I'm sure Kevin will come up with a guest because he's obligated to get one a week.
Well, now, this is, I'll be a little disturbed. I was looking ahead at free agency started
you're
at
disturbed,
4 o'clock.
You have to get a guest? I'm sorry.
No, I'm disturbed. I have to do something. Yeah. No, free agency started at 4 o'clock, and this is the first I've heard of this particular move, that the Steelers may trade Mike Wallace to get a draft pick from New England.
For Morley Safer. Our number is 1-800-795-9565.
Why? To snag Stephen Hill. I have no idea. That came from CBS Sports. I don't understand that.
Maybe they can't come to contract terms.
That's,
it would give Brady a major league target. And he has not had a game breaking receiver outside of Randy Moss in his career. Gronkowski, outstanding tight end, moves chains. Welker, outstanding possession receiver, moves chains, makes plays for you. But Moss was the game breaker. For some odd reason, Chad Ochocinco never was. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. You are obviously, as a Steeler fan, disturbed by this development.
Well, I'm hoping that this is pure speculation in a possible situation. There's only two places that I would not want to see Wallace go. One would be the Ravens. And the other would be New England.
Okay. Sarah Bartlett says no, she'll take him.
Well, I'm sure she will, but those are the two places you don't want to send anybody who could hurt you. I don't
know. What are they getting in exchange for him if they make this deal?
Let's see. It would be a speculative pick.
Speculative pick?
Yes. It would require a draft pick.
A draft pick?
Yeah, that's got to be.
Well, fortunately, it's the Patriots, so it's going to be a top 10, right?
That's got to be Pat Kerwin just making things up now. I cannot believe that would actually happen. That's disturbing.
You wouldn't go to a bridge over this, would you?
That's disturbing, though. There's no way. That can't happen.
I'm willing to call Pat Kerwin myself.
Please, get him on the phone. I want to hear what is going on with that one. That is, I don't.
That's cruel. No. Dan Connor, by the way, signing with the Philadelphia Eagles today. The former Nittany Lion linebacker leaving the Carolina Panthers. He signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Missed that? Come on, man.
I did. Well, I'm looking at free agency right now. I'm looking at all the free agent.
I'm sorry. I've only been sitting here breaking down the NCAA tournament, which starts tonight, and the women's tournament that had its selections last night. That's all I've been doing.
I know. I'm not saying that what you were doing was bad, but it is 4 o'clock and free agency opened up. And there is one small free agent that's making a little news. You may be familiar with him.
Well, Marcus Colston has signed a 5-year deal with the Saints. Terrence Newman was cut by the Cowboys, the defensive back. The Dolphins traded Brandon Marshall to the Bears for 2 third-round picks, and I think the Dolphins got the better of that deal.
No, that's still not it. What's that guy? Oh, yeah, that's right. Where's he? He's in Tennessee now? Peyton Manning is in the
Talking with Mike Munchak.
Yeah,
he's in Tennessee now. Talking with Mike Munchak. He's making the rounds.
So right now it looks as if the Broncos and the Titans are ahead of Miami and Arizona.
Nobody knows that. Come on. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that.
True. Well, one person does. One person sure does. And that would be the gentleman who has been traveling to each one of these cities. Did you see the video that they made in Arizona?
No.
They made a video to woo Peyton Manning and... There's a guy on a horse talking, you had a lot of horses where you were. We have one, basically says we have one, two, and then refers to a wide receiver that's pretty talented out there. We have one for you to throw to called Fitzgerald. I mean, it was clever the way they did things like that, but it was one of those visual things. Do a search on it. That'll entertain you during the break.
I'm not that desperate. Sarah Bartlett in the news coming up bottom of the hour on WKOK. And then we'll talk about former Nittany Lion coach Dick Carter, who passed away at the age of 81. A few stories from the Steve Jones Storybook coming up, plus your phone calls at 1-800-795-9565. Steve Jones Show, Kevin Herr in tow, after this.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565. NCAA tournament gets underway tonight with the first four. Kevin Herr is locked in and ready.
Waiting for this.
Despite free agency.
That's right. I have one eye on free agency, the other eye on the, not the play-in games, the first-round games. Remember, say that with me, first-round games.
Well, I call it first four. Yeah, Western Kentucky, the only under 500 team in the tournament playing tonight. They will take on Mississippi Valley State, which took the Fang Mitchell approach to the season. You're saying, who is Fang Mitchell?
Yeah, thank you for explaining that one, because I was clueless on that one, I must admit.
Fang, head coach, Coppin State, out of Baltimore, is also the athletic director. In fact, they pulled a big upset in the tournament, I want to say 15 years ago, somewhere in there, where they beat South Carolina. South Carolina was a 2 seed. Coppin State was a 15. And they, one year as the athletic director, his job is also to make sure he has enough cash to take care of the tennis program, the volleyball program, the softball program, everything, right? And the one avenue they have at Coppin State is to get revenue from the basketball program. He played his first 14 games one season on the road. His first 14 games played on the road. Because he was trying to garner guarantees. He probably garnered between $500,000 and $750,000 in guarantees. And Mississippi Valley State, played their first 12 games on the road, my man. They played first 12 on the road. They went 1-11. Then once they had a normal schedule, they won 20 of their final 21. So they play tonight against Western Kentucky, Iona, BYU. Let's go to the phones at 1-800-795-9565. Milton, the next stop. Hi, Tom, go ahead. Great to hear from you, Tom.
All right, I'm glad I got through. I listened to your program quite a bit, Mr. Jones. Hats off to the St. Bonaventure Bodies.
Mark Schmidt is an old friend of mine who coached here at Penn State for 2 years, coached at Robert Morris and did a great job there. He still has that Boston accent to him, and I am thrilled for the head coach of the Bonnies, Mark Schmidt, because he and I go back many, many years, and I am thrilled for him.
Well, I go back to the 60s when this Tom Sitt and his brother Sam and Woody Martin and Ori Girelli and Eddie Donovan and Larry Weiss, it was the greatest basketball I ever seen. They used to play a doubleheader on a Wednesday night in Buffalo. It would be the Bonnies and Creighton, Canisius and Bradley. $1.
Wow.
They did the same thing on a Saturday evening. It was great. And the Bob Lanier era, I may be wrong. I think in 1960 they lost to Ohio State twice by 1 point, once in the Holiday Festival.
I believe that they played the ECAC Holiday Festival at Madison Square Garden in Ohio
State.
And
I don't have to tell you, you're knowledgeable. You know the team that the Buckeyes had.
Outstanding team.
Jerry Lucas.
Jerry Lucas.
Johnny Larry Havlicek.
Larry Siegfried.
Exactly. And I'm glad St. Bonaventure, and I think they could have won it all if Lanier didn't get hurt against Villanova in 1970.
I remember that. I remember when he got hurt and how devastating it was for them.
I think Howard Porter fell into the back of his knee, and that was it.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, at the beginning of your program today, I missed the first part, but I think you were talking about Kentucky and John Calipari.
Yes, Dick and I were talking about that.
Yeah, okay. Thank God every basketball institution doesn't I'm glad they don't recruit like Kentucky. It's a disgrace.
A lot of people share your sentiment, Tom. A lot of people share your sentiment. Now, when Dick and I talked about Kentucky, what we did, Tom, is that we talked about them from a strategic point of view, that he does, quote, understand the modern game. That's why they're a 6'3 to 6'8, 6'9 team. That's why they have four players on the floor that can shoot the three and why he stresses so much defense. Once he does get them, and obviously you have questions about how they get them, but once he does get them, he knows how to coach them up pretty good.
Well, he does, but I think in the New York Post today, I'm going through the paper, Mr. Vaccaro, or Robbins, one of the he goes out and gets high schoolers or freshmen that can make the NBA in 1 or 2 years. And he stresses NBA offense and NBA defense.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does that. And a lot of people have questioned what John has done for a long time. Back to his UMass days.
Well, I didn't like him there, and I didn't like him at Memphis. He's got a checkered past.
You're not his agent, Tom.
No. To me, it gives college basketball a black eye. Does he care if they graduate? Obviously not.
He gets guys that a lot of one and dones down there. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, that ain't the way it should be. Vern Lindquist, Bill Rafferty, the best. I hope they never split him up.
Two of the nicest guys you would ever want to meet. Lundquist is always Vern. Every time I've been around Vern, he's always having a great time.
Yep.
Laughs. And then Rafferty will kid me. Every time I see him, he says, Stevie Jones. He says, don't you love the row ball?
I seen him play in Buffalo for LaSalle. LaSalle always played Canisius. I seen him play in Buffalo at the old auditorium.
Ah, the old odd. That's where the Sabres used to play. All right.
Yeah, and I'm a big Sabres fan.
Yeah.
I hope they got a big win last night. And, one more thing. I wish
you
had Girardi on, and I wanted to talk to Girardi. I'm kidding, of course. His main passion is horse racing, and I had questions for him.
Well, believe me, when the Kentucky Derby season comes up, followed by the Preakness and the Belmont, we will have him on, Tom, okay? I promise you.
I'll tell you the question I wanted to ask him.
Yes, sir.
Philadelphia Park. It's not Philadelphia Park anymore. It's Parks.
Right.
Parks Casino and Racing. They're real big time. They had a handicapper, and he used to be the handicapper in the Philadelphia Inquirer. His name was Greg Donnelly. I don't know why they couldn't afford him or they didn't want to keep him, but they should have a big-time handicapper in the paper because Parks is big-time thoroughbred racer now.
Yeah,
I wonder if Girardi would be interested in that job.
I think Girardi likes where he is. I think Dick likes where he is in his place in life. And I think I'll ask him that, but I think Dick's pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, I know. I heard him talk many times, and he'd love to go into Saratoga and not to Santa Anita. So, okay, I'm going to get back to you guys again.
Tom, you do that. It's a pleasure hearing from you. Great opinions, great call. Our number 1-800-795-9565 as we approach 15 before the hour. Top of the hour, we'll have CBS News followed by Sarah Bartlett. Our number 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with the final segment of the Steve Jones Show, Kevin Hur in tow, here on WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Front Street Station in Northumberland invites you to have a shamrock of a good time with their St. Patrick's Day weekend parties. On Friday, March 16th, behold the luck of the Irish with live entertainment from Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band. At Front Street Station, you can enjoy the deluxe Irish buffet and the band for only $15 per person. If you just want to party with the band, it's only a $5 cover. Buffet starts at 5:30, entertainment starts at 6. Then come back to Front Street Station in Northumberland on Saturday, March 17th to see Jamie O'Brien rock out the Irish tunes in the main dining room and take advantage of Front Street Station's traditional Irish dinner special, plus regular dinner menu. This year, celebrate St. Patrick's Day the right way with not one, but 2 days at Front Street Station in Northumberland. For reserved seating, call Front Street Station at 473-3626. St. Patrick's Day weekend parties with Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band Friday, March 16th, and then Jamie O'Brien playing more Irish music on Saturday, March 17th at Front Street Station, number 2 Front Street in Northumberland, a railroad eatery.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
Evangelical Community Hospital celebrating the special deliveries of 2011 with a special edition. Proud parents, grandparents, family, and friends now have the chance to honor the Evan babies of 2011. Your little one's name, birth date, photo, and special message will be published in the Daily Items special section on March 20th, Everything Baby. Download your entry form at evanhospital.com. All entries must be received by March 14th. Celebrate your special delivery and download your entry form today at evanhospital.com.
Bucknell, Arizona tonight, opening round of the tomorrow night. Bucknell, Arizona tomorrow night, opening round of the NIT. That'll be at 9 o'clock.
Like maybe we get Doug Bergson on from Tucson tomorrow.
Depends on the timing. I'm not sure when they have their little warm ups and practices and stuff. So I'll have to check.
You have to eat 4 hours before the game. They'll be eating between 4 and 5.
Oh, then we won't get done.
Between 5 and 6. Between 5 and 6, they'll eat.
If it's during eating time, Doug won't. We won't be able to get Doug.
Between 5 and 6.
You gotta understand, Doug eats like 7 times throughout the day. He doesn't have one meal. He has like 7 small meals. It's really fun.
Yeah, let's get him on the show tomorrow.
All right.
You know, Dick Carter passed away at the age of 81. Dick was the coach here at Penn State in basketball from 1978 to 1983. In fact, the first 3 games he coached at Penn State after moving from Oregon to State College was in the Seawolf Classic, which then eventually became the Great Alaska Shootout. Opening game was against Darrell Griffith and Louisville. Second game in Sullivan Arena was against the host team, Alaska Anchorage. And then an 0-2 Penn State basketball team faced an 0-2 Indiana team. And needless to say, in the game for 7th place, Indiana won. Knight was not going to let him leave Anchorage 0-3. His first one was against Delaware. He brought Penn State to the 1980 NIT, where they lost at Alabama. He then put banners up in Rec Hall. There were no banners in Rec Hall. And he put banners up in Rec Hall. The 2 banners he put up, one was the 1954 Final Four banner, and the other one was the 1980 NIT banner. He wanted to at least show there was some tradition, that they had played some good basketball at Penn State before. And you have to remember that, you know, it was, what, 26 years from that to 1980? Right? Not that big of a gap, but still it's a gap. And then put the 1980 NIT banner up because he wanted to show that they were moving forward with the program. He was criticized for that, but he was right, and those who criticized him were wrong. He was a tough ex-Marine. I remember one time we had to fly out of Bradley International Airport, and we are going down, and Penn State had lost, and we're going down the runway, and it is pouring. Right, and we're one of in those shorts 360s, one of those prop boxes. And we're going down the runway, and we lift off. And like when we lift off, we're not going very high. We're like, come on, come on, come on. And the tree line's coming up. I looked over at John Grant. I said, he's up there tonight saying, if we died, we deserve it. And it was an awful flight. We were, you know, one point we were in Massachusetts, New York, Massachusetts, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, New York, Pennsylvania, New York. We were all over the place. And I remember they landed the plane and finally at University Park. And they get off the plane and he walks up and he says, man, I don't mind telling the two of you guys. He said, that was really kind of rough. Now, for him to admit that, because he would never admit such things. I always got along great with him. And one day I'm at my apartment, spring of 82. I get a call from him at home, you know, and I thought to myself, okay, how'd he get that number? And he said that he had recommended me to Jim Tarman, who was in his first few months as athletic director, to be the new basketball announcer. Fran Fisher had decided to retire after the 82 Sugar Bowl game. Fran had decided to retire from basketball first and was going to do the 82 football season. Well, Jim Tarman then approved it, and I was put on. And it was Dick who recommended me. And I had filled in for two games, Bloomsburg and Nebraska, in his fourth season. In his fifth and final season, it was my first season on the Penn State Sports Network. And the first game I did was at the Baltimore Civic Center against Len Bias in Maryland. It was Len Bias's first game. Scored 10, but Penn State won the game 97-78. And this was a time of experimental rules. Some games had a 45-second shot clock, some didn't. Some had a three-point line at 19-9, some didn't. Sometimes you had both rules in place. Some you had one or the other. You always had to check before every game what the rule was. Well, they used the ACC line as an experiment for that game. It was technically at Maryland. It was the Baltimore Civic Center, so it's their home game. And the line was 17 feet 9 inches, 2 feet inside the top of the key. Dickie Moo made 3 three-point shots in the game. Ended up with 17, 18 points in the game. After the game, I went up to him. I said, wow, it must have been great hitting three-pointers. He said, what are you talking about? I said, those three shots you took from the wing were all three-point shots. He says, you're kidding me. He said, I was right on top of the basket. I said, yeah. So Dick Harter, also Penn State's first year in the Atlantic 10. And they played St. Joe's and Temple, both at the Palestra. And that meant a lot to Dick because Dick had been the head coach at Penn. And I remember walking into the St. Joe's game, and they have tennis courts in front of the Palestra. And he said, when I was an assistant coach here, he said, you know, I was actually the tennis coach here. I'm thinking to myself, Dick Harter coached tennis? Wow. Well, Penn State plays Alabama after they play St. Joe's. And Penn State's off to a great start. They had beaten St. Joe's. They're going to play Alabama now. I'm going to go back. It may have been December 9th or 10th, 1982. Penn State's going to play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl for the national championship. Wimp Sanderson is the head coach at Alabama. Alabama comes out to warm up. And they have their warm-ups on, and then they take the tops off. And when they do, they're all wearing T-shirts that say, Go Penn State, beat Georgia, be number one. Now, it's a sellout crowd. They go wild. They love it. Right? And when they're done with the warm-ups, the Alabama players take off the T-shirts and throw them into the crowd, and the crowd goes wild. Now, I'm getting ready to do the pregame show with Dick. And Coach Harder looks at me and he says, Steve, look what they've done. They've stolen my crowd. The game went triple overtime. I've only done two triple overtime games in my career. One in football, the Orange Bowl, and this game with Alabama in December of 82. Remember Tommy McCluskey, 9 minutes to go in that game in regulation, hurt his knee and had to miss the rest of the regulation and all three overtimes. Alabama won the game in overtime. Also as part of the non-conference, we were scheduled to go down to Florida. Played South Florida and Tampa at the Sun Dome right before Christmas. Then we all flew back. And then it was a time where you played in these holiday tournaments. They hardly exist anymore. But Penn State was scheduled to play in the Gator Bowl basketball tournament. And ironically, the football team for Florida State was also there at the time, staying in the same hotel with us. The first time I ever met Bobby Bowden. I had a long talk with Bobby Bowden because it was that casual. It was that easy. Brian Dean, all the players had to fly from their homes because it's after Christmas. Brian Dean flies to Jacksonville from Harrisburg, gets off the plane, looks around, doesn't see anybody he knows. He's supposed to take a cab. Doesn't see anybody he knows, gets back on a plane and flies back to Harrisburg. Now, Dick had a temper. And I said to Coach Harder, I said, what about the Brian Dean thing? And he says, you know what? He says, I know I'm supposed to be mad, but he says, that's one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard of in my life. He says, I suspended him for two games because he can't play in either game down here, so I suspended him for two games. Penn State plays in the opening game of the Gator Bowl tournament against Florida. And the arena's right next to where the football stadium is, where the Jags play. And in the Gator Bowl tournament, Florida, they're coached by Norm Sloan, who had coached NC State to the national championship in 74 with David Thompson, Tom Burleson, and those guys. His team has Eugene Delancey. They have McDowell. They're good. They run Penn State out by 25 points. Now, today, when you have shoot-around, it's pretty exact. They sit there, they go through plays and so forth, and it's like an hour to an hour and a half practice. The way Dick Harder had shoot-around is he let the captains run shoot-around. And that's when I taped the pregame show, because he didn't participate. He drove them hard enough in practice. Well, the next day, Penn State's supposed to come back and play Iowa State. Johnny Orr, who coached Michigan to the national championship game against that undefeated Indiana team in 76, is now the head coach at Iowa State. Penn State's going to play them in, quote, the meatball matinee game. He has Barry Stevens, fine player. Harder, in a courtesy car, pulls up next to the school bus we're on, going over to practice for shoot-around that day, gets off the bus, looks at everybody and says, men, I'm running shoot-around today, and gets off the bus. He pulls away in the car, and Vinny Garlic, who was a sophomore guard out of Delaware, looks up and goes, I'm too young to die. He put them through a practice where they did nothing but take charges and did nothing but go after loose basketballs. That's all they did. They never shot the ball once in shoot-around. He started Jimmy Forgeon at guard and benched Dwight Gibson. Forgeon had 9 assists, 1 turnover. Penn State won the game 81-75. Penn State ended up with 17 wins that year, but it was Dick Carter's final season. Dick went on to the NBA with the Detroit Pistons, Indiana Pacers. He was the first ever coach of the Charlotte Hornets as a head coach. Knicks, great years. Celtics, great years. I talked to him twice since he left Penn State. And every single time, he knew exactly what I was doing in my life. He always kept up. Rest in peace, Dick Harder. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Steve Jones Show. Great to have you with us today.